This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining me for this conversation with Amy Ziering, co-director of the much-discussed, praised, and criticized documentary series Alan v. Farrow. In the film, she and co-director Kirby Dick focus on the family tragedy that for decades and decades has played itself out in our public consciousness. It examines the 1992 sexual assault allegations made against director Woody Allen by his then 7-year-old daughter, Dylan Farrow. His relationship and later marriage to another of Mia Farrow's daughters, Soon-Yi Previn. The trauma in the family, how it was dealt with in the criminal justice system, in the media narrative, and much more. Award-winning filmmakers Amy Ziering and Kirby Dick are known for films exposing sexual abuse in institutions like the military in their film The Invisible War from 2012, and in the music industry with the film On the Record from 2020. On Alan v. Farrow, they also worked with Amy Hurdy, an investigative reporter who spent 3 years tracking down court documents, police reports, witnesses, and experts. But the center of the documentary is Dylan Farrow's story. Her voice is the heart of the series. Alan v. Farrow includes the much-discussed home videos of 7-year-old Dylan Farrow recounting her abuse, allegedly by Alan. And it's harrowing to watch. The films were seen in court, but never in the public. And for years, Alan has characterized Dylan Farrow's recounting as a lie Mia Farrow coached their daughter to tell. The series also includes interviews with Dylan's brother, award-winning journalist Ronan Farrow, several other of her siblings, family friends, babysitters, experts, and more. Neither Woody Allen, Soon-Yi Previn, or Mia Farrow's son Moses Farrow, who's spoken out in support of his father, participated in the documentary. The documentary points out that they did not respond to interview requests. But the series does include audio excerpts from Mr. Allen's recent memoir, Apropos of Nothing. I was very happy for the opportunity to have a brief conversation with director Amy Ziering. We talked about some of the big ethical questions that the filmmakers faced making this movie. How Dylan Farrow speaking out may help many others suffering in silence. And Ziering's response to those critical of the documentary. But first, take a listen to this from Alan v. Farrow.
This is the story of two of the biggest stars in the world.
The father is Woody Allen, writer, director, actor. The mother is Mia Farrow, his co-star and mother of his three children.
Say hi.
Hi.
My family was really close.
It was an amazing childhood. But no matter what you think you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Woody Allen is one of the most prominent American directors.
He was such a cultural figure.
Woody Allen, Mia Farrow, that's the ideal power couple.
Woody gave her everything she could possibly want.
I was over the moon happy. But that's the great regret of my life. I wish I'd never met him.
Mia reportedly has a video of their daughter Dylan explaining how Allen molested her.
Could you give us a comment, Woody?
Allen denies child abuse, but freely admits he's in love with another of Farrow's daughters, 21-year-old Soon-Yi.
There was a stack of Polaroid pictures. All of them were of my own child. I remember struggling to breathe.
I thought to myself, there has to be another side to the story.
Farrow is accused of seeking revenge for Allen's affair with Soon-Yi.
She was terribly upset.
The report says Farrow may have coached the child to tell the story.
Where did he touch you?
You brought charges against me as an unfit mother.
And I'm going to make him stick.
This is a case unlike anything the state of Connecticut had confronted.
All of the notes were destroyed.
For the first time as an adult, I read the court documents. My reaction was, well, holy shit.
Everybody wanted to know how this was going to end.
Ready?
There's so much misinformation.
It doesn't matter what's true. What matters is what's believed.
So, Ms. Ziering, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
This is a family tragedy of epic public proportion. And besides the 3 years of investigation that you guys spent reporting the facts, the timelines, I imagine that there's so many ethical questions your team had to deal with and talk about. What were some of the most difficult decisions you guys made in the process?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, obviously the tape. I don't know, for those that haven't seen it, we do show discrete portions of the tape that was what Dylan actually told her mother. The tape that Mia Farrow shot when Dylan told her for the first time about what had happened to her. And it's a harrowing tape to watch. And it was very difficult for us to decide whether to include it or not. Is this too much for people to take? Or is it actually important and instructive? And we landed on the latter because we thought that a lot of, you know, incest is an issue that no one talks about. No one knows how to talk about it. At least in American culture, it's kind of the third rail. We've done a lot of films in sexual assault and sexual abuse arena. And every time we would show a film, people would come up to me and say, please do something about what goes on in the home. No one will talk about it. And victims can't speak out and they're so ashamed. So we just thought, you know, what's a way for people to actually finally connect empathically with this issue? And Dylan herself gave us the tape and said, you know, if I trust you and if it will help other people, you can show it. So we ended up saying, okay, we'll actually let it play. But that was probably the most hard decision, the most difficult decision.
And this story has, of course, also been in our collective public domain since the early 90s. I mean, these people are part of our lives with their movies and arts, even longer than that. How did your view of Woody Allen change before you started the project and investigation and after?
My personal view?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we came in knowing absolutely nothing about the case except what we had heard over the 3 decades. For 30 years. And I always thought, oh, I kind of knew the story. And as we investigated, I realized that no, I only knew one side of the story that one person had been putting out over and over and over again through different media and through different venues, you know. That's what really shocked me. So my whole opinion, not just of Woody Allen, but of the whole case itself and what happened, started to unravel and unfold as we started doing this investigation and finding eyewitnesses and police reports that no one had seen and court documents and testimony. And then we started going, oh, you know what? Everyone thinks, as you said, this is a story we all know, but we really don't know it at all.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I thought that the telephone calls between them were really jarring. I mean, it gives the impression that there is a Woody Allen persona and then there's Woody Allen. You know, we know the persona.
Well, it's so interesting. And we talk about that in the series, is that part of the reason why it was so hard for us to see any other narrative than what was being put forward was because the persona in his films is so, you think it's him. You know, he acts, directs, and writes his own parts for the first half of his career, which was substantial. And he kind of seems to play himself. You know, he's charming, he's bumbling, he's hapless, he's neurotic, he's funny. You just fall in love with that person. So it was really startling, as you say, to hear him talking in an audio tape. He didn't at times know always that it was being recorded, we imagine or think. Mm-hmm. And it's not that kind of person at all. Yeah, that was... Yeah. Amazing for us to hear. And we were so grateful to have that access to those tapes.
So Dylan Farrow has said this, I'm going to quote so it's correctly. What I don't understand is how is this crazy story of me being brainwashed and coached more believable than what I'm saying about being sexually assaulted by my father? Now, making this documentary, do you have an answer to her question?
Yeah, because people don't want to believe this of fathers. People, incest, we have... At least in America and in the American court system, we've protected men over women, over mothers and children for decades. And in our culture, at least, this is a crime that's not talked about. So it's the one people really want to look away from, can't believe it can happen, don't know a lot about it. I mean, always think that a person who's upstanding or presents well in a public way can't possibly be doing this kind of thing in private. And all of our research has shown that's just not true. So yeah, well, also what's interesting about that, because we did talk to experts, is it's very hard to coach a child. First of all, very hard, very hard. They don't stay on message. They're very young. They don't really understand. If on the rare case you're able to coach them, they don't stick with it when they're older. When they're older, they don't stay brainwashed. You know what I mean? If you coach them about a certain incident, by the time they grow up, they're going to be truth tellers. They're not going to stay with the story, and it won't stick in the same way. So that was also interesting to me. That was the second thing. And so the third thing I'll say to listeners is, what did Dylan have to gain? Wouldn't you, if this didn't happen, at a certain point go, I'd rather be with the amazing dad who's beloved, who does great films, than the crazy vindictive mother? Wouldn't you like just do that math yourself? Like, you have a lot more to lose. Like, there was no gain or glory to this, you know, which is interesting. And the last thing I'll say is, we love the narratives of vindictive women. We just do. I mean, look how easy this narrative that we do, you know, at least in American culture.
Yeah. Were you surprised during this investigation at how Mia reacted through the years to some of these very difficult revelations that came up?
Oh, I was so surprised that I had no idea that actually this is the first time she ever spoke at length on camera about this incident. And I hadn't realized that or known that. I thought that we had heard her side through the years. And what I realized in making it was, he said. And Mia's public presence was to, you know, this isn't something I want. I've got to protect my children. The best thing is not to have an ugly public narrative played out. So I'm just going to retreat. So that's more what, you know, the tack she took and was decided it was safer not to speak. After she wrote the book.
A couple days ago, there was an article in The Guardian criticizing the documentary about omissions in the story, and it's a PR job for the family. What are your thoughts on this article?
I've got better things to do than I'm not a PR person. I'm a documentary filmmaker. So I've got better things to do with my time than make up stories. We looked into the things that are alleged in there. We went down every rabbit hole. We're not afraid of the truth. We embrace it. We seek it, and we pressure test it. And if there's not corroboration, if there's not independent, authentic, you know, two source corroboration of people that have no vested interest, no financial interest in, you know, any kind of remuneration for whatever they're saying, then, you know, we'll run with it. But we couldn't find it. And so we've presented what we could find, and that's the truth.
What do you make of Woody Allen and Suni Previn's statement last week, where they said that they only got 2 months to respond and that Ronan Farrow has a deal with HBO? How do you analyze their reaction?
Oh, I think if someone gave me 2 months to respond, that's enough time for me to make up my mind. I think if I were being falsely accused of something, I'd want to speak to everybody. I would not be afraid. And, you know, honestly, I don't know what people think, but nothing can go on the air that we stand behind that isn't, we've done, I don't know how many films, we've not had to issue one fact retraction. I'm not into peddling myths. Leave that to the storytellers like Woody Allen. You know, they do a very, very, very good job of it. If I wanted to do that, I could have a different career, but this is the truth. If there's another truth that we missed, bring it on, show it to me with, you know, all the corroboration that it requires to be taken as true, and I would embrace it.
Is it possible for her to reopen the case? Do you know?
I don't know. No. I just want to say that this is about a family tragedy, but we've lost the whole message and point if that's all we talk about is just what it is and da da da. And also, last thing, what is someone who did something supposed to say?
Could you repeat that? I didn't understand. What is someone who did this supposed
to say?
What
were we saying? What was I starting to say? Oh, is that this is about a very personal family situation, but I don't want it to get lost on all the viewers that it's really about crimes that happen all the time in many, many, many families. And we hope that this helps others feel less alone, recognize these crimes when they're happening, and, you know, and be able to have our culture also kind of finally have a national reckoning and wake up and acknowledge that these things happen and take care and protect survivors and victims better.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to director Amy Ziering. Alan V. Farrow is streaming now on HBO and HBO Max. And thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you and see you next time.
Hey friends, this is Jim Knight, former 21-year Hard Rock executive turned best-selling author and top 10 keynote speaker.
And I'm Brant Menswar, former frontman of Hollywood's most dangerous band turned top 10 motivational speaker and best-selling author.
We host the how-to podcast Thoughts That Rock, where we talk to rock stars, athletes, CEOs, astronauts, and even next-door neighbors who share their expertise and opinions. Together, we tackle the most interesting and challenging topics of today.
Whether you want to learn how to become more confident, how to deal with anxiety at work,
or how to write a hit song, or use Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in life,
we've got hundreds of episodes to help amp up your life and move you forward.
Subscribe to Thoughts That Rock wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out evergreenpodcast.com for more information.